I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, and once you get there, turn to the 11th chapter. And of course, my throat tends to get dried up right when I need it. Matthew, the 11th chapter, and then come with me to the 28th verse. And then I'll be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible version. I even went out of order. There might be some of us who may not know where Matthew is. If you have a physical Bible, go to the table of contents. Go to the New Testament section. On the New Testament section, the first book you'll find is Matthew. And go to that page number, and then go to the big number 11, and go to the chapter. That's the chapter, excuse me. And then go to the verse 28. That's the smaller number. And this passage of this sermon is going to come from much more than this. It actually kind of starts at the 25th verse, but in the interest of time, I'm going to just read this part. Book of Matthew, 11th chapter, 28th verse. I'll be reading it out of the Christian Standard Bible version. You will find similar words printed in your text. It reads as follows. It says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'm going to come from the following topic or theme, burnt out. You may be seated. I have been avoiding preaching this scripture for a very long time. And the reason I've avoided it is because, I have a rule about preaching. I never want to preach something that I don't believe. One. Okay. Pastor got to learn too. Yeah, I went to school and all that. I'm still learning. I don't want to preach something I don't believe. And then two, I don't want to preach something that I haven't practiced for myself. And so for this scripture, in a sense, I don't know if I'm breaking the rule, I'm more stretching the rule. And I'm embarrassed to admit it, the Lord is working with me on this scripture. And I'm sorry, I know that, some of us like our ministers to be perfect and strong and capable and, preach with authority and, I know that's what some of us want. But today what you're going to get is the James that I typically try to hide. A James I don't really want to preach, but has to preach anyway. The James that the Lord is working on. The James that has weaknesses. And, you know, Scripture says that, you know, in our weakness, he is strong. His power is made complete, perfect through my weakness. And so somehow I'm hoping that the Lord does what he does with this today. I'm burnt out. I'm at the point, and I have been at the point, where sometimes I just kind of want to be by myself. You know, I don't feel good about, you know, my accomplishments in life. And some of you are looking at me like, how? You've got a degree, couple of degrees. You've got a wife. You've got a child. You've got, yeah, but for those of us who have gotten things, you realize that getting things doesn't really make you, you know, happy. Am I talking to somebody in here? And I've just been doing what I can and trying hard over and over. But I got to a point, even with my job, where I woke up and I said, I can't go in today. I can't. And I took a day off, and it was a good thing for me. I knew around that time that I had to look at the scripture. And again, I have a rule about scripture is I got to be able to apply it to myself. And I'm going to get back to that in a minute. I looked at this scripture, and of course, you know, we're supposed to come to Jesus and give him our burdens, and he's going to give me rest, right? My problem, and it's kind of weird for me to admit it, I'm shaking a little bit. My problem is that I didn't really see Jesus as rest. To me, Pastor James, oftentimes Jesus is work, not rest. Hello, what am I doing right now? But God told me to look at it, and so I looked at it. And as I was looking at it, as he said, you know, I'll give you rest, take up my yoke and learn from me. I was confused because verse 28, let me just go back here for you guys. Verse 28 says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. That's what it says in verse 28. And then literally the next words is verse 29, take my yoke. Take up my yoke and learn from me. And me being way too educated, I'm thinking about yoke. Yoke is what you do when you work. And I'm supposed to rest, but take up my yoke. Are some of y'all tracking with me? I'm supposed to rest, but you give me something to do? Some more work? Okay. Then he had me read the context, because again, with scripture, you always got to read the context. Okay, you got confusing scriptures. It's confusing because you don't read the context. And I went all the way back to Matthew 10, because I like to get the whole thought, right? Matthew 10, this is where Jesus is commissioning the disciples, the 12 disciples, to go out and preach everywhere. And one of the main messages he gives them is that that people are not going to understand. There's going to be some people that believe, but then there's going to be some that don't. And he says that Jesus is telling them that these people don't believe you because they don't believe me. They're not going to receive you because they're not going to receive me. They're going to mistreat you because that's what they really want to mistreat me. That's what Jesus is saying. So the relationship that they have with you as believers, this is what Jesus is telling the disciples. The relationship that they have with you and how they treat you is a reflection of their relationship with me. And then Jesus goes on to chapter 11. And then on chapter 11, this is where John the Baptist, who's in jail. John the Baptist, who was preaching about the coming of the Christ and all of this, right? We're talking about Jesus' cousin preaching all of this, right? And John the Baptist, the greatest prophet that had ever lived at that time, knew exactly what Jesus was here for and all of that. John had sent a message through his disciples to Jesus saying, "Are you the expected one? Or are we coming for somebody else?" Even John's faith was wavering. And so he reinforced it by saying, you know, by reminding him of the miracles that were happening. And then Jesus starts talking to the people. And then he's kind of getting frustrated with the people because the people are starting to question if, you know, Jesus and John, for that matter, are really legitimate. And so Jesus is frustrated because he's been doing and giving all of these miracles. He's been doing all of these things, and people still have not repented. People still have not come back to him. And Jesus is frustrated because, again, the point of miracles, the point of God doing work in our lives, is so that we would be drawn to him. But what was happening was that Jesus was doing miracles, and people were just kind of like, "Cool, do some more miracles. Great, that's cool. Do some more magic tricks, Jesus." And they were missing the point. They were not coming into a relationship with God. And this was frustrating. And this is why Jesus ended up starting to denounce people later on in, denounce cities and later on in chapter 11. And he's saying, like, look, there are, y'all remember Sodom? Y'all remember how godless it was? Your judgment's going to be worse than theirs. Because I was here, Jesus. I was here. I was among you. And instead of listening to the things that I was doing for you, instead of heeding the signs and then coming to repentance and trusting in me, you play me like a magician and just want some more tricks. Like this is something fun to do. And then Jesus goes, and then this is where it started confusing me, but when scripture starts to confuse you, that's God working in you. So when Jesus right after that, he starts to bust out in prayer, and he says, "I thank you, Father, you know, for all of these things that you have shown and hidden from the wise and the learned and the intelligent, and you've given these things to infants or reveal these things to children. I'm so grateful, Father, that I know you and that you know me and that you've entrusted these things in me and that I get to reveal to the people that I choose." And then he says this verse, "Come to me, all you are weary and burdened," et cetera, et cetera. And God finally hit me. He finally hit me. What in the world was going on? The problem, and this is, I'm going to build the, we're going to, you know, stay on this for a cool minute. The reason that Jesus was so frustrated The reason that Jesus was so tired of doing ministry, doing the work with everybody else, the reason he was so tired was because people still didn't know him. The whole point of everything that Jesus was trying to do was so that people would know who Jesus is, and know, obviously, through, you know, through him, who the Father is. Why is that such a big deal? I don't know if I've, if you remember, but a while ago I told you, as in college, y'all know me, I've been a Christian, you know, for a long time. I was raised in this church. Y'all know I participated in all this stuff, right? I knew my scriptures. I went to Sunday school. I did what the youth are supposed to do at St. John. I didn't drink, especially get drunk, but didn't drink, didn't get high, didn't curse, wasn't sleeping around. You know, I'm doing the good stuff, right? But in college, and I'm going to tell you this because I actually said it out loud in private, but I said it out loud, I hated being a Christian. I hated it. Seriously, it was annoying because I'm around all these people who are having a whole lot of fun being drunk and high, sleeping around, cussing up a storm, and they're having a time of their lives, and here I am trying to be a good boy, trying to listen to the Bible, trying to obey what he says, trying to follow the rules. I could not stop believing in God. And by the way, sorry to admit it, I did try. I tried. I said, let me see how I can stop believing in God. I got to get this out of, as long as I get the God thing out, then I can enjoy myself, right? You know, so let me just get this God thing over. But I couldn't get over that God created everything and that Jesus rose from the dead. Couldn't get over it. Those are the things that, you know, St. John instilled in me, my parents and all that. I couldn't get away with it. That did not make me happy. It did not make me happy. It just made me stay Christian. But I was not happy. And it took a lot, and I'm not going to go into too much, because I know y'all got things to do. But it took a while, a long time, to realize that Christianity was not just about following the rules. It was about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. As long as I thought about what I can't do, because that's what Christianity was to me, a list of what I can't do and what I ought to be doing. As long as I focused on what I should do and should not do, it was a frustrating experience to be a Christian around a whole lot of people that show ain't Christian. And you throw out evangelism. Why would I tell people to believe in God if it makes their life worse? Hello? Why would I tell people to believe in God if I'm still going through stuff and I haven't figured it out? Why would I tell other people about God and how he's the center of my joy? I ain't got no joy. Y'all understanding what I'm saying? And I realized through time that the reason, again, was because of a relationship. I had to know God. Not just know about God. There's a difference. A lot of people can give facts about me, but a whole lot of people really don't know me. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And so that was one area I realized that I needed to absolutely no God. But I'm embarrassed to say that there was another time in my life, extremely recently, period of life, where I realized I needed to learn the same lesson, but in a different way. No, I was not jealous of the world. No, I'm not trying to live. No, it wasn't that. But it got to a point where I'm just trying to do everything for everybody. I'm trying to work and be there for my company and for my team. I'm trying to be a good dad and be a good husband. And of course, St. John, I'm trying to be a good pastor. And when I was in school, I'm trying to be a good student. There's all these things that I had to do. And because I was doing all of these things, and by the way, half of it's for Jesus, school was for Jesus, church is for Jesus, I'm supposed to be refreshed, I'm supposed to be lively, I'm supposed to have all this joy, but what happened was that I started getting burnt out. And what the Bible teaches, Jesus is saying that that his load is not heavy, it's light. You know, let's read it. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what I learned is that if you're really doing Christian work properly, you will never get burnt out. So, if you are getting burnt out, that is a sign you are doing something wrong. If you are getting burnt out doing really anything, but in this case, the work of the Lord, you're getting burnt out, because if Jesus' burden is light and it's actually heavy, somebody's lying. I mean, does that make sense? If he says his yoke is easy, but the yoke is actually not easy, somebody's lying. And again, the confusion is, why in the world is Jesus saying he's giving me rest, and then right after that he's giving me work? I don't get it. But this is where I learned that as long as I do it my way, and if I'm burning out, I'm doing it wrong. Why? Because the point of this entire passage about coming to Jesus and all of that, and the reason we have to read the whole context, is because Jesus's focus is on knowing God. And when work is done right, when Jesus's work is done right, it helps you know God. That's where I was messing up. Because I'm doing all of these things and serving all of these people. And in the end, I did a lot of things for God, but I didn't really grow in God. Yes, I came and helped out and did a lot of things for God. But when I look back at how did I grow, I mean... I'm stuttering because I don't know. And Jesus never designed for us to be just simply busy just for the sake of being busy. Jesus always has a purpose for us. And if we're not walking in that purpose, we're going to get burnt out.
And so I had to realize and be embarrassed right now that as your pastor, I have been doing things for God, but sometimes not really getting to know more about God. And yes, when you, yes, I can study and know things, I can give you theology, but how am I growing? How am I maturing in the faith? My rule, like I said earlier, was that when I read the scripture, when I give sermons, the first thing it needs to do, I need to be able to apply it to myself. It has to sit here before I can give it to you. And what I have found, and God revealed it to me this morning, was that so many of my sermons, I've done that in reverse. Yes, the word I preached was accurate. You can fact check me. Go ahead. Yes, the word was true. Yes, it was powerful, not because of me, but because of God. But I did it out of order. Because at the end of my studying, I said, okay, so how does this apply to me? That should have been how I started first. And I'm saying this to our Bible study teachers. Sometimes we just teach and we don't have no idea how the word actually, what did we read and how did that apply to me and my life and how do I need to improve? What was missing was my intimacy with the Lord. Because this is true in relationships too, girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife. When you are missing intimacy, have you noticed that the other person tends to burn you out? Wait for it. Let it marinate. Have you ever noticed that? That when you get burnt out by your significant other, tired of dealing with them, don't even want to hear their voice, they just irritate you. Hello? There's always a lack of intimacy. No, not sex, okay? What I'm talking about is knowing each other. What I'm talking about is learning how they operate and how they think. That's what was missing with God. I'm doing stuff based off of how much I can figure out. But God is not a math book. He is a person. God is not a formula to figure out so you can get your blessings and not tick him off. Hello? God is best represented in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why he came in the form of a human. And again, not a math book. Because for us to know him, we have to have a relationship with him. And when we don't do that, Christianity just turns into another set of rules that we need to follow so that we can keep him happy and be cool. And if you do that, I promise you, at some point, you will get sick of it. And you'll either burn out, which people do. They're tired of following the rules, and then they become atheists. Yes. Some people just tired of not having sex. So they just decide, you know what, let's get this God thing out the way. Because I'm tired of what I can and can't do. That's what some people do. Or you have people who are just overachievers and they just do the most. And, you know, they're just perfect. And they just, you know, but they're not in a relationship. They're just doing. Just doing, 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 doing until you just snap and you're just out of here. You're burnt out. And the reason I'm saying this is because when we really, truly look at the gospel,
We know that the gospel is, we know the story, right? Jesus was born through the Virgin Mary, lived for 33 years, crucified on a cross for our sins. And then he was buried. And then on the third day, he rose up. And then if I say that with enough hoop and holler, we all get excited. But then what does it mean for us? I don't know. What is the gospel actually, him dying and rising, what does that actually mean for us? It's something I'm supposed to be happy about. But when you realize that Jesus died on the cross for our sins with the goal of us knowing God, then you start to realize that I was disconnected from the Father. And Jesus made a way. He, out of his own love. Then you start to understand Romans 5:8 when it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It has meaning. The gospel then has meaning when you realize that the goal is to know God. In fact, John 17:3 says, this is eternal life. What is eternal life? Living forever? Having perfect health? Eternal life is this. John 17:3, look it up yourselves. It is to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. That's actually eternal life, defined by Jesus himself. The literal goal of everything Jesus did is for us to know God. And some of us are doing too much. And God is actually telling us, stop. Let it go. Stop. You're doing too much. Stop. You don't know me. Yes, you're participating in the food program. Thank you for helping the community. Thank you for representing my name. Great, but we don't know each other. Let's grow. It is possible that we as a church can do too much, where we have a lot of events, where we have a lot of things going on, but in the end, we don't know. I started to realize this when we've had all these events, and we're all, you know, being Marthas, right? Setting up the event, doing everything else. Nobody's Mary. Nobody can sit and enjoy what, you know, the Lord, you know, just doing his thing. Nobody's Mary. Everybody's Martha. Let's make sure, are the napkins ready? Okay, who's on the doors? Okay, Pastor needs some water. Give him some water. Oh, where's his towel? We're all concerned about that. And then we ask, well, what was preached today? I don't know. We missed. And what happens is that those of us who work so hard at trying to please the Lord, we end up getting burnt out. That's why after all some of these events, when we're done, everybody's just glad it's over. Just glad, whew, I'm tired. Whew, I'm glad it's over. This is done. Whew. And we missed it. We did a lot of things for God, but we didn't know God in the process. And so, I'm going to close. Let me close right now. Unfortunately, and Reverend Burks, I'm going to throw you in here too. A lot of ministers and teachers and whatnot, a lot of teaching and preaching is rules when it should be about relationship. A lot of it is. And I'm guilty. A lot of what we teach and preach is what you ought to be doing and what you ought to not do for the Lord. But what we need to do is focus on knowing God and just being intimate with Him. And when we do that, you'll start to learn, yes, God has things for us to do. This is not a call to laziness, okay? This is not a call to just stop working on anything. God has things for us to do, but you'll find out that maybe they're not the things you thought you were supposed to do. And if you realize how God is trying to grow you and how He's trying to train you, you'll realize that some of these things that are irking you are actually opportunities for you to grow. You'll start to learn that there's parts of your heart that God is trying to reach and that you've been blocking Him. That if you just let it go and if you just allow God to just take you out of your comfort zone, maybe things will get better. Even though in your mind they're not going to, but our thoughts are not His thoughts. Our ways are not His ways. And we would know that if we knew Him. Maybe the focus on our youth and kids should not just be getting them in a whole bunch of programs. Because if we do that, fantastic. We have lots of youth, lots of kids. Great. Church looks good. And here we go, repeating the cycle. Maybe we just need to spend time knowing God. Maybe praise and worship will be a lot more enjoyable if instead we stop trying to do things, we just try to know God in our lives. And then we will find out that praise and worship is something that we do naturally. It just comes out. It's not something you need to psych yourself up to do. I gotta psych myself up. Y'all know how horrible would it be if I'm like, I'm about to see Felicia today, so I gotta get prepared to love her. How horrible would that be? I've been going through a lot, but I'm seeing Felicia. Okay, let me just, all right, she's my wife. Okay, all right. Okay, when I step in that door, I'm gonna be the husband of the year. How horrible would that be? Hello? It should come out of my heart that I love her. It should come out no matter what kind of day I have. And yes, I understand we have bad days. I get it. I'm not saying you can't have bad days. But when you realize that Jesus gives you rest, that He is not just something else to do at 11 o'clock a.m., but that Jesus is the one that loves you and He comforts you and He takes you. And whether you're having mental problems or physical problems or emotional problems or family problems or job problems or whatever types of problems, He is your rest. When you actually realize that, it changes everything. But if you're like what I was being and I'm trying to get out of, and you see Jesus as work, then you go away from the only solution that works.